The topic I wanted to discuss tonight is the issue of the lack of shalom bayis in the Tesler household. I thought all of you in YU Torah land will be happy to hear about this. The question is as follows. The question I wanted to talk about is, to what extent does the teaching of the Zohar and Kabbalah play a role in the determination of halacha? When you have a situation where the Gemara says one thing and the Zohar says another thing, what do we do in such a case? Right? Which is basically a question of, you know, how do we view Kabbalistic teachings in general? The Radbaz, who we've quoted many a happy time this summer, says, Al tashimeni v'tachshidei yishni posik halachos mor haral derech ha-kabbalah. He said, don't start accusing me that I'm pasketing my shailas based on Kabbalah. I just say whatever the truth is. A little unclear what that statement is.
Really?
But,
that's amazing.
So, you know, the Radbaz, you know, is at this, in the same statement denying that he paskins like Kabbalah, and in the same statement, you know, doesn't protesteth too much.
Where is there an example, or what would be an example of...
We will have examples. The Chasam Sofer, we'll talk about actual cases where this comes up, and perhaps discuss the differentiation between Ashkenazim and Sephardim and how we approach it. The Chasam Sofer, Rav Yosef Kosov al Shekenegdo Shevi Mikitse Hari, the Kosov alav, the Im, Ne'alamim lo avo yafa diber chena ni omer kohama arev divre kabola im hahalachos absukov chayim mishim zoreya kilayim. Pentikdash. Said, anybody who starts mixing Kabbalah and halacha, that is what we call shotness. Right?
That's interesting.
Right? Don't, these certain things just don't go together, right? So he says, right, so, Pentikdash Hamaleya has er asher tizra, Umazer Hamaarif Sifri Higayon, im Sifri Torah, over al Chori Shorva Chamor Yachtav. Similarly, if you get your philosophy mixed up with it, that's also a form of kilayim, bimhu manig Yisrael, manig bikilayim.
As usual, he's subtle and understated.
Right, subtle like a 2x4 right across
right,
the side
so
of the head.
Could you make that translation so I can appreciate that?
Right, basically what he is saying is that halacha gets mixed with absolutely nothing, and if you do mix it, he doesn't have anything nice to say about you.
Gotcha.
I think that summarizes the general idea.
That seems very nicely put.
Right, okay. The question is, why not? The question is well, you know, let's be honest. When it comes to learning halacha, we will use gemaras, we will learn mishnayos, we will use midrashim from time to time, what we will consider, right? We will consider Tanakh, we will consider the Torah, we'll consider the Navi. What is it about the Zohar, what is it about Kabbalah that all of a sudden it's verboten that it can be involved in this at all? Why is it any different? Are we denying the validity of it? Is that the concern? Or is there something else out there? So we start with Rav Yaakov Emden in the Sheilas Yavetz. And he says as follows, Yadua she'ein inyan ha-sefer ha-kadosh ha-hu rak avar daito al-pisod. He said, what is the purpose of the Zohar? The purpose of the Zohar is not to pasken halacha. That's not what the book was written for, but rather was written in order to explain things in a more deeper, secretive, mystical, spiritual, pick the magic word, manner. But it was never written to be a halachic work. That's not the purpose behind it. I'm happy to accept the Zohar. I'm happy to learn the Zohar, etc. That's fine. But he So obviously, this is, I'm not opposed to it, but obviously, as we mentioned on Shabbos, right? It's not an easy thing to learn the Zohar. Not everybody should be doing it. And therefore, to be using it as a normative text when we're going to halacha.
In what context is he writing this? Does this relate to his feud with Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz? Does this?
So again, this is a tshuva. Now, is it affected by his view of Shabtai Tzvi, etc.? I wouldn't have enough gall to say no. Meaning that he doesn't get up and say it, but you know, clearly this is part of his Weltanschauung, which he would never say. Meaning that this is his worldview, right? He believes that, you know, anything mystical, you got to take a step back from. So he's not saying that about the Zohar. He's not opposed to the Zohar in any way, but to think that it should be used for normative halacha, that's not what it's there for. So again, if I wanted to be very clear here, the first answer he's giving is as follows. There is a purpose for everything, and halacha is not the purpose of the Zohar. That's not what it was written for. Right? Much like we would probably argue the Medrash. Right? The Medrash is dealing with something not in a straightforward manner. Right? Right? The Rambam famously said about Midrashim, that if anybody believes them all, he's an idiot, and if he rejects them, he's an apikoros. Right? So, what does the Rambam was a pretty smart guy. He could probably figure out that leaves a little daylight there. So he's explaining as follows, that no, there's great truth behind it, but not this simple reading of it. I mean, that's written in riddles, it's written allegorically, it's written, you know, to give a deeper message. If you just take it, you know, literally, right, like Shir HaShirim, if you read it literally, you're missing the whole point. Right? So too here. So the Zohar as well. The Zohar isn't here to tell us, you know, this is the simple truth. No, it's speaking on a different plane. It's speaking on a different level. It's speaking whatever it is. It's not halacha. That's approach number one. Approach number two that he has, which has always been the approach that really has spoken to me, is as follows. He says, who wrote the Zohar? According to tradition, it was written by? Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, besides writing the Zohar, appears prominently in the Gemara. And oftentimes there's a machokas. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says one way, and Rabbi Akiva says another way, and Rabbi says Yossi Aglili says another way, right? These are all different opinions that are out there. And we, or not we, but the later poskim, the Rambam, the Rush, the Rif, the Shulchan Aruch, have to make a decision. This is the opinion we're going to follow. And sometimes they follow Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and sometimes they don't follow Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is rejected, why would we think that he should get a second bite at the apple because he wrote his own book with all his opinions in it? All what the Zohar would seem to be are the opinions of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So in the event that opinion would have appeared in the Gemara, it would have been rejected. The fact that he now has it in his own book, with his own volume, authored by him, shouldn't make a difference. So again, that's a very compelling argument. The argument is that this isn't the Gemara, which was a work that was decided upon by rabbis throughout the generation, right? This is one man's opinions, a great man's opinions, important opinions. But again, these are opinions that the Gemara took into consideration and either accepted or rejected. So if the Gemara decided to reject it, the fact that he now writes it in his own book shouldn't make it any better.
But is there overlap between his rejected opinions in the Mishnah?
There is some overlap. Some places in that. Again, you would imagine that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and all rabbis have opinions about everything. Right? And just like, right? Meaning that, you know, do you put it in your tefillin this way? Do you put it in your tefillin that way? He had an opinion, I'd imagine. Right? Sometimes you get quoted by the Gemara, sometimes you don't get quoted by the Gemara. Right? So oftentimes, his opinion, he'll have something in the Zohar where there's no parallel opinion of his in the Gemara. But the assumption is, okay, because we didn't write, this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion on everything, and this is Rabbi Meir's opinion on everything, and this is Shmuel's opinion on everything. So the assumption is that he's coming up with this opinion. The Gemara had the opportunity to consider it. So therefore, Rav Yaakov Emden says the reason that we do not consider the Zohar when it comes to halachic discussions is either A, because that's not what the book was meant for, or two, it's the opinion of one man and one man alone, a great man, albeit, but a man whose opinions were considered by the Gemara and accepted in some cases and rejected in other cases. And if they were rejected in other cases, the fact that it now came out in a new volume with a spanking new cover, right? You know, and now it's in the Oprah, you know, Book of the Month Club, that doesn't make a difference. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, the Divrei Yitziv, writes as follows, Shemati menagon kodesh, kotze, minasoid, sounds like some Rebbe, Shehachazina kishasti run neged hazoro ke'inin in mashgichim bevaskol. He offers a different approach. We know that there is a concept of roba shemayim here. Right, the famous case of the Tanur Shel Achnoi, where in fact there was a major machlokes about the status of a certain oven, whether it was Tamei or Tahar, and things got ugly in the Beis Medrash, right? And, you know, the minority opinion got up and said, you know, if I'm right, you know, may a heavenly voice come down and say that I'm right. And with that, a heavenly voice comes down and says, he's right. And they respond, they said, great trick, we don't care. Lo b'shamayim he. We right the upper spiritual realms aren't entitled to an opinion here. Right? When we discussed at the beginning of the summer, Elo ve'elo divrei Elokim chayim, right? It says that God was learning the story of Pilegesh Begiva, right? And there was a machlokes, and they asked God, so who do we paskin like? And God says, well, according to this opinion, it's this, and according to that opinion, it's that. Right? God, why do I have an opinion? So just like in such a situation, we don't take into account the thoughts of the spiritual realms. So too, the Zohar is the same thing, according to this. That's his approach. Just like I'm not going to listen to a baskol, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't going to paskin for it, right? Just like you know a navi isn't entitled to an opinion. If a Navi got up and says, you know, that doesn't work. You can't paskin al pi nevua. So too, you can't follow the Zohar. So again, that's three different approaches. Either it's because of this idea that it's not a halachic book, or because of the idea that, in fact, it's just the opinions. I shouldn't say just. It's the opinions of Shimon Bar Yochai, which were considered already. Or it is something that is in the spiritual realms and that does not come into consideration.
Is it ever that he wrote it because not always his opinion was considered?
No, again, whatever reason he wrote it, the Zohar is not a halachic work. That is true, right? Sometimes it sneaks in there, but he wrote, again, it wasn't another bite at the apple. That wasn't what he was doing,
okay.
Right? Again, when I turn 40 and I learn it, then I'll have a better idea of what it is. So the Chacham Tzvi, was related to Yaakov Emden because it was his father. That was great. The word, the Yaivet stands for Yaakov Emden Ben Tzvi, right? That's who it was. And therefore, and in fact, he had an Enochel whose name was
Jacob
Javits, right? Javits is Yaivets. That's where it comes from. So, what? The Javits Center. That is the one. Very good. How do you like that?
Shocking.
So he is dealing with a halachic question. He says, "Shnayim shabo lebeis haknesset b'shasha chazam b'psikid dezimra. Ha'echad dilei psikid dezimra l'derech amur b'poskim k'dei l'espar ima kohol. V'ashini hisra mitchilas birchas ha'shachar v'ayu mishabeach v'omar al seder v'lo hispar ima kohol v'omar shakachu dasa rashbi b'sefer ha'zohar parshas b'midbar." Two guys walking late to shul. So what are you supposed to do? You're walking in, it's around Baruch Hu. So first you're supposed to say hello to all the people in the back, right? Walk around a little bit, shake hands, say how nice it is to be here. Yeah, sure, yeah, great. And then that's at least the minute that we have followed, I've noticed over the years. Right? And then within a minute, you're ahead of where everyone else was. You can take out a book and start reading. These two people walk into shul, and one guy follows what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. It says that if you walk in late and you miss, so you start with the Sibor. You say Baruch Hu with them, you skip Sikkei Dezemra. Then you say Shema and Shema and Esrei, so you can have Tefillah B'Tzibor. It seems that the Zohar doesn't agree with that. And the Zohar says that it's more important to daven everything in order. So Mr. Gemara walks in and he skips like he's supposed to, and the other guy says, I know the Zohar. And with that, he goes and starts in the very beginning and ends up davening B'Yechidus when he gets up to Shema and Esrei. So which is preferable? So this is basically a question of, you follow the Gemara or you follow the Zohar?
And it's a halachic question.
And it's very much a halachic question. So the Chacham Tzvi answers as follows. Tzorach ani lo'odil l'sholel sha'afilim ho yudivrei ha'zohar hefach me'aposkim ha'avirunu anil divrei ha'poskim b'shvil divrei ha'murim b'sisrei Torah. So he tells us a chiddush. He says, we do not consider the opinion of the Zohar at all unless we have a machokas. If we're unclear of what the Gemara says, then the Zohar could tip the scales. V'chein kasa Rabbeinu Agol Marino with David ben Zimra. Who's Rav David ben Zimra? Radbaz, right? B'tshuva Lamed Vav, Zechuk Chol Mokim Shimsa Divrei Kabbalah Chalukim Agor Halach Achar HaGemara V'Aposkim B'chol Mokim She'eno Cholek B'chol Nisra Gemara B'gam B'Poskim Ani Ra'isi Lismoch HaDivrei HaKabbalah. He says, if the Gemara has no opinion on the matter, right? Let's say the Zohar says that I'm supposed to sleep with my bed in a certain direction. And the Gemara had nothing to say about it. So, follow the Zohar. If there is a machlokas in the Gemara, and we don't have any clear answer, and the Zohar takes, so then you follow the Zohar. B'shuvah elcha kosa v'kevin shehi prukta, divrei ha-kabbalah yachriyo ha-kan rishona, harei she'im ro ha-isa prukta bein ha-poskim, divrei kabbalah ro yachriyo ha-hepech. B'zeh yisod Torah seinu kadosha. So he says, he offers now a fourth reason. He says, why is it that we don't allow people to paskan at the Zohar? You know why? Because people don't understand the Zohar. He said, I think the Zohar says mutter, really the Zohar says aser. It's not easy to learn Zohar, right? The R scroll Zohar hasn't come out yet. We don't have Zohar Yomi, right? It hasn't become something, right? There aren't Zohar podcasts, right? Right? Why use Zohar.com, right? The Zohar boot camp, right? None of these things. And these are all things that we eagerly await, I'm sure. But right? So, obviously, so he says, that's the reason. The reason why we don't follow the Zohar is because, you know, I knew the Zohar and you, my friend, are no Zohar. And so that's basically, so we have here, this is the end of four different opinions why we don't paskin like the Zohar. Right? So we'll just chazer one more time. Either it's because it's not a halachic work, or it's because it's only, it's a das yachid, it's an individual opinion of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, or it's because it's considered lo b'shamayim hi, a violation of that, or because we're just not convinced that anybody really understands it. But you'll note that, very important, the Chacham Tzvi said, in the event that we don't have clarity elsewhere, you can consider it as a tiebreaker. Now, with that under our belt, let's start considering cases where these come up. We start with the Maharshal, who says, "Ahuvi Yedidi Amaskar of Mordechai Ben Tanchum, Shasha'alta Osi Al Minhagi Im Laniach Tefillin Al Yadz Bi Yeshiva Oba Amida." When you put on your tefillin, should it be sitting or standing? What do we do? Right, we stand, but in Hungary, right, where Hecht is from, they sit. Right, right. I think that's what the minhag is. Right, the Turkish, right, part of the Hungarian Spanish Empire, right? The great Hungarian Iberian Empire. So, right? So that's, now, why the machlokas? Why is it that Ashkenazim do it one way and Sephardim do it another way? So he writes, Mr. Reisa Habe Minam Adakti Kim Bidukim, right? Aniyat Tzvon Sheyabi Yeshiva. Right? He said, right, the Chadashim Mikarabov wrote Mulyos Mikatamu Kubalim. What's the reason for that? So everybody from has always put on their tefillin standing up. All of a sudden, a bunch of people started sitting. What's the reason? Because they want to be Mikubalim. They find that in the Zohar. The Zohar says that, in fact, you're supposed to sit when you put on tefillin, which is against the Gemara.
Mikubalim, what does that mean?
Kabbalists. Veda, Ahuvi. Shekol rabosai v'avosai kadoshim sheshimshu ga'onei olam reisim hem shalom nagu kech. My Zayda and your Zayda and the Zayda Zayda and the Rebbe's of the Zayda. Right? Nobody ever sat for putting on their tefillin. Ela kedivrei haTalmud v'aposkim. They just follow. They were simple Jews. Whatever the Gemara says and whatever the Shulchan Aruch says you stand. They stood. V'imhoyer Rav Shimon bar Yochai omei lefaneinu v'tzovei ha'chashanos haminag shenogu ha'kamonim. What if Rav Shimon bar Yochai walked in right now? He said, "I'm collecting for not if he said that." Robert, would you mind if I speak a minute? So he gets up and he says, "I want everybody to all of a sudden come on in and to start putting on the throne, sitting down. We throw him out on his head." I mean, he can't go against the Gemara. Who does this guy think he is? Come back along, Romer. We could talk, but until then, forget it. Right. Lo ashkachin and bay, we wouldn't listen to him. Be rov devarv, ain't alocha kamosa. We don't pass him like him in the Gemara, generally. Sometimes, yes, but generally not. Kerkosov ha'karo, v'ray lezeh hu kosov, sodos gedolos ha'azharos nefolos, she'en levar ha'shtei brachos, al tefillin shal rosh v'shal yad, v'an ashkachin and bay, v'varchum shtayim. Same idea. How many brachos you make a different bracha in the tefillin shal rosh and tefillin shal yad? Of course we do. Someone's going to tell us to make one. Where you coming from? Get out of here. Get out of town, Fletch. No way. So he says, that's we just don't change our minhagim. It's clear in the Gemara. Right? We have two brachas. Gam hu kosar amir tefillin b'chol amo el chayiv misa. And also it says there that if someone was tefillin on chol amo, they're chayiv misa.
Which
what?
Chayiv misa? I don't remember what that means.
Death penalty. So, Patty, stop wearing tefillin on Chol Moed.
I'll remember that.
Good. See, I finally taught you something after all these years. Right? So he says, V'nachnu menichim u'mevarchim aleihem. We do it with a bracha. How do you like that? Rashi b'nei Yisrael ain't a menichim tefillin k'chal b'chol moed. Lefi sh'ar rash b'ba b'ital minag. Lefi s'var rasul. She'afetafas das ri b'al tosef. Lo she'choshu levad l'divrei azor. We always knew about the Zohar. This is nothing new the Maharshal is writing. And guess what? We ignore it. So all these people are coming along now. And they're having all these. That's interesting. All these minhagim seem to be centered around one thing, and that is tefillin, right? Right. How many brachas make on tefillin? What standing or sitting in tefillin? Chol Moed tefillin.
About order. Right. The same thing about order.
What order?
Just since he's saying something about everything, the order in which we do
filling. What order?
You do one before the other.
Everybody does one.
Exactly. I'm just saying, why isn't that something that?
Because the Zohar doesn't say otherwise.
Okay.
Okay. So there. So in fact, the Maharshal gets up and says, all of these. That's the tradition that we have, and we've always had, and everybody has is. You don't start changing things. The Gemara says one way. Doesn't matter what the Zohar says.
Hold on. I understand that it's a minhag. Do we know why we stand or why?
The Gemara says it. This is all things that are written in the Gemara.
Is there any reason connected to it?
We're in the Gemara. No, it's filling. You'll get all the reasons for all the various things. Right?
Okay.
Why don't we say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo after the second bracha? Does that suggest that it's a sub-shank? Baruch Shem Kodom.
In case it's a bracha.
Right. So we hedge our bets.
So we give some consideration.
Right. Okay. But you know, that's the Gemara has two opinions, but we clearly paskin like one of them. So that's why we hedge our bets. You know, as they say in Latin, in kenishaden. Right.
That doesn't sound like Latin.
It's all Greek to you.
Uh-huh. Sounds German.
Now the base Yosef The Beis Yosef does not agree with the Maharshal. The Beis Yosef was a little bit before the Maharshal, I believe. Anyways, Mithot Lashon HaRasha Kasser Rabbeinu Yisparach HaShetzach HaOla Likros Benachas Nemeshriyach Tzibor Kedei Shirot Tehei Berchasa Levatala. So interesting, he says, that when a person gets an aliyah, the Rosh says you should read along with the Baal Kare, because you're making the bracha, so as you read along, you should, you know, that will allow it. V'chein kasev atos v'sof perakama d'vavabasor v'rabbeinu agodl ma'ari abuav kasev shamati shekosev b'sefer azor she'ein likros k'chal ela echad v'rochus v'dvarav im emes hu kach shani lo re'isiv kasev elo she shamati v'ad kan l'shono. He gets up and he says, well, I in fact heard that the Zohar says you should not read along with the Baal Kare. Right? Because, you know, it's, you can't hear two people talking at the same time.
Right. So you're talking about reading along out loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vania Kosev Zachisirimso. So the Mari Abuav. Anybody know who the Mari Abuav was? I'm curious. There's a Mari Abuav shul in Tzfat next time you're there. Very nice shul. So he was part of that, the golden age of Tzfat. So he said, I heard that there's a Zohar, I never saw it, but if so, I think we should be concerned about it. So the Beis Yosef said, guess what? I saw it. I saw the Zohar. Yep, Parshas Vayakel. And he quotes what it says. And he says as follows. So we'll skip down a little bit. We came to L'divrei HaZohar, also L'kros, Ela Echad Levad. Wait a second. Even though the postum say you must read along, you can't go against the Zohar. Beis Yosef is following the Zohar against the Gemara? So not really, he says. That's not. He said, the Gemara never said this. The Rush said this. Tosva says this. Maybe the Zohar can't argue on the Gemara, but it doesn't mean that he can't argue on the commentaries of the Gemara. If the Gemara never said anything, and the commentaries say something, and the Zohar says otherwise, in such a case, I think you do follow the Zohar. Yes?
Are you thinking examples when it says teiku, or is it when it doesn't give you an answer at all?
So yeah, this is none of that. Meaning that this is a case where the Gemara never talks about what do you do when you get an aliyah.
No, I'm saying just generally when it says teiku,
does the
Zohar address any of those issues?
So the Zohar, I don't know. That's the short answer. But again, we're talking about, I don't know if it specifically uses the word teiku or not, but there are many cases where I almost venture to say most cases in the Gemara does not give us a clear understanding, and therefore it's now sometimes all the poskim agree which way to go. Sometimes there is a division among the poskim, right? But it's very rare that you see a magic word like Vehilchasa, which is the equivalent of game, set, match. So here the Beis Yosef gets up and he says that in fact you're dealing here with a situation where it's not really the Zohar against the Gemara, it's the Zohar against the Poskim, and in that case, I think he has a right to argue. Not only that, the next thing is like, why do you have to read? I'm listening, it's the equivalent I'm saying it myself, halachically. So there's no real reason why you have to read along. So he says, so therefore, Avaf Mishim in Lashon Rishon Shekasai Lo Hiske Elo Dibor Efshin Choshenu Mashmil Ezov Lo Kari Rei Dibor Chin Verasos Likros Ola Benachas. He said, and finally he says, this is a place where everyone can be happy. What's the Zohar's problem? You can't hear two people going at once. What's the story with the Rush and the Tosfos? They're saying you have to say something. So he said, so say it quietly. If you say it quietly, you're saying it. So it's not a bracha v'atala. And no one hears you. So it's not a problem of two people.
What about just following along in your head, reading in your head with the bracha?
Well, you made a bracha, you have to say it. That is what Tosfos and the Rosh are saying.
Meaning it literally has to
gotta come out of sound. Gotta get out of the lips. The Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramah, right? By both the Darkei Moshe and the Darkei Moshe and the Beis Yosef are the Mechaber and the Ramah. This is just their original commentaries on the tour. He writes, "V'lim Yirush ein hechrach b'divrei Hazor klal Yosef mimashe muskar b'megillah the b'torah yikru shnayim shapirusha poskim the mari b'kol ram mishum the trei koli romish tamoi who adin the divrei Hazor mari b'kai gavda." So he says, "I don't even think the Zohar is talking about this. He thinks I don't know where the problem is." The teisha b'imei Hazor lo nogu min haga digdan shashli yosef hayakare hakol alo hayakare. He says, the old minhag was, it was a lot easier on the gabbai. You called up somebody and they would lane. So
they make the bracha and lane?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And there are still communities, I believe, where this still happens. Right? The Achinu B'nei Sfard, where they call you up and you better be ready or else right. It's going to be really, really embarrassing.
Very
so, what?
Very
and how embarrassing was it? Some people.
No, they told people before.
Ah, that's no fun.
Yeah, that, a heads up.
Yeah, that takes the fun out of it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So he thinks that in fact the Beis Yosef is wrong because you know the person who got the Aliyah is the only person laning in those days. So therefore the Zohar can't be talking about this. Right, so therefore he said that you've got it wrong. Just to take a look, how does it turn out in the Shulchan Aruch, number 9? The Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yikre shnayim, ela ha'ola korev v'shriya tzibar shosek. O shriya tzibar korev v'ha'ola lo yikre b'kol ram. Mikom makom tzachu likros im ha'shriya tzibar k'dei shlo teim b'yurchos l'vatora ha'tzachos b'nacha shlo yishmer l'oznav. So the Mechaber says what he says in the Beis Yosef, and it's interesting. He says that you do have to read when you get the Aliyah. Just read quietly. The Rama says, I don't care. I think you can say it as loud as you want. Right? He does not share this concern. Another case where this comes up, we'll just give a second example. That's one that's near and dear to my heart. Tefillin on Chol Hamoed. So again, the Beis Yosef, he's talking about whether or not to wear tefillin on. Now we all know that Achinu B'nai Sfarad do not wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. So why not? So the Beis Yosef surprises us all and tells us that the minhag of his grandfather was to wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed, and everybody wore tefillin on Chol Hamoed.
So what the heck happened?
Oh, an excellent question. I'm glad you asked that because I was just going to go and pack up and go home. But now that he asked it, we'll go on and we'll read the next source.
Okay.
V'achshav nogu kol b'nei svar sh'rola anichem b'chol moed. V'shamati sh'mikodem hoyim anichem v'som b'chol moed. K'divrei harash. I understood that everyone used to wear tefillin on chol moed. V'achkak matzu sh'kosu rav shimon bar yochai b'maymar echad sh'osor anichem b'chol moed v'alkim nimnu anichem b'chol moed. They always did it, but then they changed Pesach based on the Zohar. Wait a second, are you allowed to do that? You have to change Pesach based on the Zohar? The Chen Kosev Mori Dodi Harav Rav Yitzchak Kairo B'tshuva V'amaymar Asher Isa B'medrash Shanela M'shir Ashirim Al-Apostle Goreach Shmanech Tovim Zel Rishono. He goes through the whole thing. He explains it up to the three dots. Where he just goes the whole thing and says that if you were Tfon Al-Chol Moed, you get the death penalty for that. Listen, if you got to get this, there's so many better Averis, aren't there? If you're going to get the death penalty.
Why such a sudden change? I mean.
So because they found in the Zohar that they can get killed for this. But we don't follow. So again, he has this line, last two lines. It's not, nope, there's no place in the Gemara where it clearly says you have to wear it on Chol. You read between the lines, it seems to be very clear to most Rishonim. Right, he says, since Lon is bar din zeh befeirish, mi yarav riba lageshes ravro bekum vaasel divrei Rav Shimon bar Yochai hamafrigal kol kach beisa hanechtan. Given that the Gemara is not that clear in it, even though he admits that the majority of the poskim see they're supposed to, once it's not 100%, you're going to go against Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So you definitely see here a pattern among the Beis Yosef, and in fact we find this among Sephardi Poskim in general, that of course they agree that we would never, ever follow the Zohar against the Gemara, but we're chipping away at what the Gemara is. Right? If there's a machlokes, it's not clear, that's not a Gemara. It's not the Gemara, it's the poskim, that's not the Gemara. As opposed to Achinu b'nei Ashkenaz, we take a very broad version of what the Gemara is, and when we don't listen to the Zohar.
So it's not just the Spartan, it's also most Hasidic groups follow that minhag.
So
many of us at Edo's follow that minhag.
So
to wear or not to wear?
Not to wear.
That is the question.
So I didn't know what the minhag is here at Edo's.
It's me and Kuttner. It's me. The truth of the matter is I used to sit around counting if we had a minion of tefillin wearers. This past Chol Moed on Sukkot, we only had one day we got a minion. And depends who's here. Yehuda Kamener is always a plus, right? A lot of son-in-laws, right? I think you bring Yitzi, who wears it as well. You know, Ted Engel is a tefillin wearer, I will note. What? That's, he's always been known for that. He's a little bit of a fanatic, I think is the word we're looking for. I'll tell you, I terribly miss Joe Klayman. You know, right, so what?
Because?
He used to wear
tefillin. Not in public anymore. Not in public, he doesn't do it anymore. Right, but again, usually on a good day, right, we could eke out a minion still, depending on who's around, right? Mordechai doesn't do me anything.
So why would Chol HaMoed be considered different for tefillin?
You'll have to learn the Zohar for that.
Okay.
Wait till you're 40.
I'll have to wait till I'm 40.
Right. And again, looking at the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha L'Maisa, we see it again. So again, the Mechaber says, oh, we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. He doesn't give us the background here. He just says, of course, it's not an os. As opposed to the Ramah, says, Yesh Yom Chol HaMoed Chayu B'Tefillin. V'chein Nogim B'Chol Gliros Eirut. All Ashkenazim do this. Right? Ra'anichim B'Moed Revarei Chalayim. Eloshim Revachim Leim B'Kol Ram B'Beis HaKnesses K'mo Shai Yemos HaShonah. We make a bracha, it's just not as noisy as it once was. Most people don't really understand this because you have to go to Breuer's to understand what this is. In Breuer's, the chazan makes his bracha on his tefillin out loud every day.
And so people just say amen? Or they just...
I assume they say amen.
But I'm saying...
Then they make their own bracha also.
I was going to say...
Just like Birchas HaShachar. So that you don't do. So we have this difference here again, where, you know, the Ashkenaz. Now, again, remember, Hasidim, in the big picture, that's pretty recent. Right? So again, all these, there hasn't been a source that we've really touched on that has been Kloisenberger, that has been that recent. Like, this is all very old machlokes. Look at Yabia Omer. And he has a very interesting take on all this. Obviously, he'll be leaning towards the Sfaradic approach, as you might have expected. He says, "Achrei Taras Chaim Rashom," that goes to all the how you doings, right? He asked the following question. He says, "Bivakshol Rishtado Lagos Atzmosov Shalsar Manuach." He wants to know the following question. There's a great tzaddik who was buried in Chutz Laaretz. Should we move the body to Eretz Yisrael? Now, there is a different summer, right? What are our views of burial in Israel? And if you remember, that is a machlokes between the Bavli and what we call the Midrashim, right? In the Bavli, they speak about very hard of it, that in the event that someone is buried in Chutz Laaretz, they have to go through Gilgul Atzamos in order to get to Eretz Yisrael, in order to have Trias HaMesim, right? It's a very painful process. That's why Yaakov was very insistent that he'd go back. He didn't know if he'd be Zochet to Macholos, whether there would be tunnels for him to go rolling through or not. So that was the discussion, as opposed to the Yerushalmi and other sources where they looked at it and they said, Well, how nice. All these people, they know, never made Aliyah during their lifetime. Now they're kind enough to be Matame the Aretz by dropping off another dead body. So, you know, it's interesting. The Bavli, the people in Chutz La'aretz, were happy to send the people to Israel. The people in the Yerushalmi weren't that happy to accept it. So the question here is, here's somebody who, you know, was Harosh Lekilas HaSfardim Belondin. And he wants to know, you know, this guy who was buried here, would it be a net positive for us to ship the body to Israel?
This is the Moses Montefiore that we all
know and love.
Probably.
Right? Hasar Hatzadik, right? And I believe he, what? Correct. So here this is, at one point, they're thinking about moving the body. Yes, we have a body. No, what do you think? Haresha Zohar Shvilan Karevi Barkira. He says, well, wait a second. He says, the Zohar follows what we call the Yerushalmi. I believe we even had the Zohar when we went through the sugya at the time. And the Zohar is of the opinion that don't bury in Israel. As opposed to the Bavli, who says yes. So Rav Avadya says, of course. In such a machokas, we're going to follow the Bavli against the Zohar. Goes through his usual list. He says, and in fact, he says, I always follow it. So he says, based on all this, he says we should, if there's no reason to bury people in, that we should bury people in Eretz Yisrael. And here the Beis Yosef himself, right, says follows the Bavli against the Zohar. Yeah, you have every right to move a body to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, they tell stories that Amoraim were reinterned in Israel. Of course, he knew the Zohar. Goes through a whole list of people, and he says that clearly this we don't follow the Zohar here. So he says, "Ubavadish af who raw divrei Zohar Kodesh parkuba kamus tzivyonam u'mashal choshes lahem tamu v'nimuko imo ki mesaris biyadein v'rabaseinu kedoshim shakol makum sheish machogas bein gemara l'vein haZohar hochim acher gemara v'aposkim." And he goes again, lists one after another.
I'm sorry, what's he saying? What's the truth?
He's saying is that we follow the Gemara and you can move a body to Israel from Chutz La'aretz.
Meaning it's he thinks it's preferable? Or
There's nothing wrong with it. In general, we don't move bodies unless there's a good reason.
Right.
So he says this is a good reason.
Okay.
So he said, in Washkalitma, Amasha Tziva Yaakov, Karati Bekfur Rosam, Sheikh Hutar Yosef Lassos, Kain Haro Shanina, Beparakam, the Kerem Shabayos, Mukovs, Homer Berit Israel, Ain Cover, Mace, Betocha Homer, Behain or Kaimalon, the Mace Mitzvah, Kana Makomo, Beemashad Varm Tamuamim, Vitmia al Yaakov Avinu, Hayrak Rafis, Varas, Rabbar Kira, Shanifter, etc. So he goes through those whole list and he says that, in fact, that I think that 100% you don't follow. Va'ata reis ladash shegam agonas dechemid mistamik va'ozir adas rabasim aposkim hatir mishenit b'chutz aros la'eretz yisrael kol v'sham b'kamosha kasavnu. So the Rav Avadya very much sees this that Sfardim follow the same opinion as Ashkenazim, that in fact we will never follow the Zohar against the Gemara. And therefore, he says, when it comes to moving a body, this is machlokes between the Gemara and the Zohar. And therefore, he says, every single posuk says you have a right to move the body. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting that on paper, everybody agrees here. On paper, everybody agrees that 100% we never follow the Zohar. Never, ever. We always follow the Gemara. Except for when
we
can somehow say, no, moving the body is not following the Zohar. Right? However, there are definitely among the Svaradik, the Beis Yosef in particular, who tries to minimize what we call what the Gemara says. Right? So,
does Rav Avadya suggest that there's a machlokas or, you know, just no opinion in the Gemara?
Again, he does not talk about it here. But again, I would say that it's not a bad argument. The question is, though, what is considered no opinion? Right? So that's the question. All right. So there you have it. And hopefully this puts the matters to rest in the test.
One question.
Yes.
You commented at the very beginning of the year that we don't